the Father sent Jesus to do something, and Jesus told us in John 20 that as the Father sent me, so I send you. So everything that He did, we're supposed to be able to do, and even greater things, and that's what's so wonderful. Now then, verse 16 and 17, it says, when the evening was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, if Jesus took your infirmities and bare your sickness, Jesus didn't plan for you to have any of these things. He bore it for you. But He also told you He took your sin so you should not sin anymore. So if He said that He took your sin and you're not supposed to sin anymore, how many people in the church believe or realize that if God says we're never supposed to sin again after we get saved, that that's even a possibility? You know, I was raised up in a church that taught me, I'm just an unworthy sinner saved by grace. I sin all day, every day, you know, so there's not anything I can do. Well, I've come to realize that's not what the Scripture says. I'm supposed to be a son of God. You're supposed to be a daughter of the King. Once you get saved, you're supposed to. He delivers you from the kingdom of darkness. Amen. And translates you into the kingdom of light and makes you a joint heir with Christ. And then He moves in and sends His Holy Spirit. And you and I, once we get saved, we are never to be involved in sin again. I mean, just like how many young men and young women do you know that are saved when they go through high school? And the Scriptures clearly says, never. There is never to be any sexual immorality among my children. And how many young men and young women have sex before they get married? Or maybe they have sex and don't ever get married. Maybe they're Christian. And then they wonder why their children are born handicapped, mentally handicapped, physically handicapped. Everything in the world. You saw in the Scriptures a while ago, if you're disobedient, God will afflict you and your children. Did you not see that? I don't want my children to be afflicted. Do you?
No.
So I'm going to teach my children no sex before wedlock. I'm going to teach my grandchildren no sex before wedlock. But that's not the only thing He requires. He also says, don't lie. Don't cheat. I mean, you go down through the Scripture, you find there's a lot of things. The standards are very high. The bar for Christians is high. And we're going to get to it in a minute. But He says there that it might be fulfilled after He cast out these demons with a word. He Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So under the new covenant, if you've repented of every sin, He has already bore your sickness and removed your disease, so the King doesn't plan for you to be sick. If He took it, we ought to let Him have it. Right, young lady? Sure, we're going to let Him have it. We're not going to have it. Then in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2 through 12, let's see what He says here. Matthew 9, 2 through 12. And behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus seeing their faith. Jesus seeing whose faith?
Their faith.
So see, you can get things done with your faith over other people.
Right.
Seeing their faith, Jesus said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Whoa! Your sins be forgiven thee? Well, let's look and see what they said about this, verse 3 and 4. And behold, certain of the scribes said with themselves, this man blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Why are you thinking such evil things? Verse 5 and 6. For whether is easier to say, your sin be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith He to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go under your own house. Now then, verse 7 and 8. And He arose and departed to His house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and He said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat at a house, behold, many publicans and sinners came in and sat down with him and his disciples. Now see, Jesus is around all kinds of sin. We see where whenever he forgave the sin of the boy with the palsy, what happened to him? He got healed. And what did the Pharisees say about this? This man's blaspheming. No man can forgive sin. But was Jesus a man? Was he really a man? Yes, he was a man. I mean, he laid down his deity. Jesus came to this earth. He was 100% man, just like you are. As your flesh and blood just like this? He was flesh and blood just like you are. There was no difference than you and me and Jesus, except he came from the Father and there was no sin in the seed that brought him in. That was the only difference. But when he washes and cleans us, he makes us new. And he makes us new creatures. He makes us sons of God. And now we become his body on earth. And he tells us what we can do. And he planned for us to be the body of Christ. It's about his business on this earth, doing great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. He expects us, just like we said a while ago when he said, and he saw their faith. You know, let me tell you how something that can just blow your socks off about when you get revelation on these things. Usually, as a rule, I sit down with somebody like I'm doing with you and trying to teach you about sin and how to repent of your sins and how to stand on the Word of God, because I think most of you in this room that come here, you're already born-again Christians. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't want to leave here today without coming up here and asking me or somebody how to come into the kingdom and get saved. Because if you got killed today, if you leave here and you don't know Jesus, you know where you're going to go? You're going to go to hell. And nobody wants to go to that place or that lake of fire. But if you get killed when you leave here today, which I hope none of you do, of course, if you're a born-again Christian, you get to go to heaven. But that's a wonderful place, let me tell you. But it's going to have places up there too. But anyway, this seeing their faith, one day, sometimes I don't have time to deal with people whenever something happens, so I have to use my faith. Now, does the Lord honor our faith?
Yes,
he certainly does. Because I was at a place of establishment where a little lady had fell into a big oven and got her arm burned real bad from here all the way up to here, burned all the skin off of her arm, big blisters on her arm, big brown, black marks where it just looked like he'd been fried on a steak grill, and big old huge blisters was coming up. And I heard this woman screaming, so I ran down a corridor till I got to where the scream was. When I saw around all these people gathered around, they were trying to pour cold water on her arm. Somebody was going to get a first aid kit. But nobody thought about God's Word. Isn't that amazing how when we get hurt, almost nobody thinks about praying? We're trying to do something in the flesh. Well, that tells you where you've been trained. If you've been trained with the flesh, you're going to use the fleshly things to get people healed. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to use the Word of God, because that's what's in you. Well, I went running down there since I'd filled myself with the Word of God, and I ran up and grabbed this little woman by this arm. This one over here, the right one, was the one that was burned. So I grabbed this arm, and I quoted two magnificent promises out of Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. And what they literally say is that he bore your pain. So I'll just round it off to that. He also bore your sickness, but he bore your pain. I quoted those two verses. And then I went from there to Mark 16:18, where Jesus makes you an awesome promise. Now, I do want Dave to go to that promise in Mark 16:18 right quick. And it says, "And they shall," he's talking about us, Jesus is saying, "and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, that's under your covenant. Isn't that an awesome promise God made for you?
Amen.
I mean, what do you have to do to get somebody healed? Be healed in the name of Jesus. Boy, was that hard? Is that hard? No, it ain't hard at all. But when you do that, you got to believe it. You know, so you go up and say, "Well, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but, you know, Jesus told me to lay hands on you. Now, I hope the king's listening. Maybe he'll..." Forget it. You might as well have stayed at home. There's no faith in that. He's not going to honor that, is he? No. You got to act as a demonstration of the Spirit of God and say, "Jesus told me to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." But if you notice in that promise, he made a couple of other statements. You shall take up the serpent or the devil. I mean, you can handle the beast, and as long as you don't have any sin in your life, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. You can hold on to him. You know, you can go over and grab him by the shirt collar. Is this young man with the devil? I say, come on over here, devil. Let me take you over and show you something. You can't touch me. I don't have to be afraid of the devil. Do you? Absolutely, son. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. Only thing you've got to be afraid of the devil if you've got a sin in your life. And right here, I'll interject a little story that there was casting out some demons in a little 13-year-old girl one day. And there were several people involved. And one of the pastors there, he had never done this before in his life. But one of the men was well-trained, him and his wife both. Well, they were commanding these demons to come out, and demons were coming out of this child. And so this other pastor began to see what was happening. So all of a sudden, in a minute, he said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her. The little girl just turned and looked at him just as unconcerned and said, I don't have to obey you. You're sleeping with your secretary. He didn't say another word. The whole deliverance. Now, how did that devil know that? Them beasts know what's going on. I mean, now, the other pastor, when he was commanded, the devil was coming out. He was excited. All kinds of things were happening. But I thought how awesome that was when that other pastor, which had never been in deliverance, he knew had nothing about what he was doing. But when he said, I want to get involved in this, see, I command you in Jesus' name, come out of her. And that old devil, that little girl just looked at him and said, I don't have to obey you. You're sleeping with your secretary. Yeah, it was a demon talking right out of his mouth. He knew what he was doing. That demon knows. So if you got sin in your life, don't try to cast out a demon. He's going to mess you up. You know, so make sure you're walking holy before God. But you can take up the devil, and if you drink anything deadly, you know, I mean, how many people in your life you know have got something deadly in their body, and you run to a doctor? Oh, you don't have to go to a doctor. All you got to do is stand on Mark 16:18. In fact, I will tell you right there, that scripture years ago, I don't even know how many years ago, but several, I was right down here on my back part of my property over here building a fence, and I trenched through a big old fire ant bed, and I didn't know it, and it's black dirt, and I'm down in there cleaning all that dirt out, and I got those little beasts all over my body.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching, and if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.